land, and I destroyed them from before you. Then Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and warred against Israel, and sent and called Balaam the son of Beor to curse you. But I would not hearken unto Balaam, therefore he blessed you still. So I delivered you out of his hand. And he went over Jordan, and came unto Jericho, and the men of Jericho fought against you, the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Girgashites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I delivered them into your hand. And I sent the hornet before you, which drave them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword, nor with thy bow. And I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you built not, and you dwell in them, of the vineyards and olive yards which you planted, not do ye eat. Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity, and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Amen.
Let's pray. Dear Lord God, I thank you very much for this opportunity that I can preach up here, Lord Father. And I pray that you use me tonight, Lord God, that I don't try to stand up here and boast, Lord Father. I'm not trying to show these people that I'm better than them or anything, Lord Father. I pray that you use me tonight and speak through me. And I pray that you open their ears, Lord God, and soften their hearts and make them as sponges that they absorb this message, Lord Father. And not only them, me too, Lord God, because when I preach for myself as well, Lord Father. And I pray that you bless this message and we can take it home afterwards with us, Lord Father, and ponder on it and chew on it, Lord Father. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, how many of you know the story of Joshua? Good, so I don't have to tell it. I'm joking, but according to my knowledge, Joshua was one of the 12 spies that Moses sent to search Canaan. When Moses died, Joshua became leader of the Israelites, and he sent spies to Jericho after God told him to go there. And also there was a passing of Jordan. To get to Jericho, they had to pass through the river. And when they got there, it was the conquest of Jericho. God told them to march 7 times around the walls of Jericho, and it will fall down. And it happened. You see, in this passage we read now, we see Joshua's last charge of Israel. He's rebuking his people for serving other gods. He's telling them to choose who they will serve. Life is full of choices. You have some small choices and some big ones. At school, I did a poem on choices. It was called The Road Not Taken. I'm sure you know it. It's about a poet. He's standing at two roads diverging in a wood. And he has to choose which way to go. And so the road that he took was based on his life. Whichever road he took, that's what he would become. And in the end, he became a poet because of the road he took. So I guess that was an important choice in his life. But I believe that the most serious choice in life you can make is about believing God. And the second most one is about serving God or not. Clearly, Joshua had his mind made up here in this verse when he said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But I bet he was furious when he asked his people to choose who they will serve. He said, have you forgotten who he is? When they were in trouble, who came to help them? When they had to cross the Jordan, who led them across? When they were fighting battles, who led them to victory? When they were marching like idiots around Jericho, let me just tell you one thing about Jericho. Jericho is one of the best defended cities in the Promised Land. Correct me if I'm wrong. It had not one wall, but two. The outer wall was 6 feet thick, and the inner wall was 12 feet thick. Last time I checked, it was impossible for walls like that caliber to fall down if someone just marches around it. But they fell down.
Amen.
Have you forgotten who made that happen? Who zoned in that day? May I send to you before you jump off that bridge, before you leave that church, before you quit on that kid, before you give up on yourself, before you give in, before you throw in the towel, will you just walk a little bit longer? Because without MapQuest, All-Star, Yahoo, or navigation, my Savior zoned into your precious location, and he saved you. It's one thing for someone to show up, but it's a whole other story for someone to show up and say what's on your mind. God showed up here and brought his walls down. He showed up in your life and brought you to church. If Jesus showed up in your life and brought you to church, why aren't you serving him? Have you forgotten who he is? God said, I am Alpha and Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. I'm the first and I'm the last. I'm the bright morning star. I'm the wonderful, counselor, mighty God, everlasting God. I'm the Prince of Peace. I'm the Lamb of Judah. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the resurrection. I'm the Amen. I'm the faithful and truth. I'm the rock of your salvation. I'm a faithful friend who will not change. I'm the Son of God, and I'm God the Son. I'm omnipotent, all-powerful, omniscient, all-knowing, omnipresent. I'm eternal. I was, I am, and I will be. I'm the past, the present, and the future. I'm your salvation, your justification, your replication, your reconciliation. I'm the propitiation. I'm your rock, your shepherd, your provider, your shelter. I'm the wellspring of wisdom. I'm the doorway of the living. I'm the gateway of glory. I'm the roadway of righteousness. I'm the pathway of peace. I'm the governor of governors. I'm the priest of priests, king of kings, and I'm lord of lords. The heaven of heavens can't contain me. You can't get me off your mind. You can't get me off your head. You can't outlive me, and you can't live without me. The Pharisees couldn't stand me. Pilate couldn't find a fault in me. Herod couldn't kill me. Death couldn't handle me. And the grave couldn't hold me. There has been nobody before me, and there will be nobody after me. I'm King of Kings and Lord of Lords, amen. Amen. Don't tell me you're still hesitating who you will serve tonight. I don't know about you, but I'm going to try and walk with Jesus. Amen. If you come up to me and say, listen, I've been trying so hard to walk with Jesus, but I can't find him. John said, walk in the light. Who will you serve tonight? You won't find God in the pub. You won't find him in nightclubs. You won't find him in front of the television. You won't find him in front of your ungodly friends. But you'll find him in the light. You'll find him coming to church. You'll find him in your Bible. Choose you this day who you will serve. Let me give you your options of who you can serve. Option A is either serving God. And option B is not serving God. Now wait a second. If I say serving God is an option and not serving God is an option, which would you take? You say, if I serve God, I would do things which glorifies him, right? Like reading Bible, praying, going to church, being involved in the ministry, amen, helping out, going soul winning, being a blessing to someone. Amen. Ain't that what you're supposed to do if you serve God? But what if I don't serve God? You're serving other gods. Right. Don't get me wrong, it's not necessarily a piece of statue or like a little fat Buddha or something sitting there. But it could be the PlayStation, or the television, or the Xbox. Food can be a god that you're serving, just eating the whole time. Sports, money, you heard me right, money is a god. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. Let me just get to a point here. It says, if you're not serving God, you're serving this world. And from your knowledge, who is this prince of this world? Satan, you're serving Satan if you're not serving God. Who would you rather? You know who God is, now who is Satan? Satan is a deceiver. Satan is a liar. Satan's a manipulator. Satan's a cheater. Satan's a thief. He's a murderer. When you're fighting against your flesh, who are you really fighting against? You're fighting against Satan. Peter describes him as a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. Stay away from him. Get on God's side. And you say, well, what if I serve both Satan and God, preacher? The Bible says, no man can serve two masters, for either you will hate the one and love the other, or else you will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Well, let me just tell you one thing about serving two masters. We were playing airsoft on Friday night, and I get a little bit carried away when I have a gun. So I enjoyed it pretty much, but what was I going to say?
Two masters.
Oh, yeah, two masters. Thanks, Pastor. Now, just get this in your mind. What if I was on one team, I was on Team Red, I think. I was in their team, and I had to get the bomb across to the other side. Well, what if I get it across to that side, and I change teams, and I'm on their team? What is my leader going to do to me? He's going to try and hunt me down and shoot me with paintballs. But what if that was real life? I would be dead. I can't be serving two masters. You're a fool if you think you can serve both God and Satan. Choose you this day who you will serve. So you know me, you know I want to join the army or join the Navy SEALs or the Marines, John. I want to serve. I want to be in the army, I want to fight for my country. But how can I serve in the army if I can't even serve in my own church? How many of you are serving in your own church? How many of you are doing something for pastor? How many of you are doing something for this church itself? And how many of you are doing something for God today? Make a decision tonight who you will serve. Listen, there's a spiritual battle going on between God and Satan tonight about your life. You should choose a side. How many of you like to be on the winning team? How many of you like to be on the winning team? I'm one of them too. But guess what? I cheated. I turned to the end of this book, and I found out that I'm on the winning side. Yeah. Whose side are you on tonight? Get on the winning side. Joshua knew exactly who he was going to serve when he stood up and shouted, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Job, the oldest book in the Bible, he said, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." David said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower." Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was cast into the burning fiery furnace with the famous last words, "If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king." They didn't serve King Nebuchadnezzar's gods, and guess what? God walked him out of those fire alive. Amen. Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. Amen. Timothy said, "I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, and I have kept the faith." These men are all servants of Jesus Christ. Who are you serving tonight? We all fail, we are just human. I failed my English test the other day in my exams. I failed my driving test the other day, which I'm not proud of. But we all fail. But thank God, the Bible says, a just man falls 7 times, but rises again. You might fail at serving God, but get up, because God doesn't fail at you. So try again. Just before I end, that was a quick message, but just before I end, I want to tell a story of the greatest servant of all time, and I'll be finished then. It's Jesus Christ. He came to this earth and took the form of a human being. Even though he is king of everything, he learned to obey his earthly mother and father. He lived a normal life as a carpenter. He learned to obey his earthly mother and father. He lived a normal life as a carpenter until he started doing miracles to prove that he is really God. The people he created in his own image rejected him. The King of Kings came down low, and he washed his disciples' feet. Just imagine if I came down here and I washed Josh's feet. I won't take off his shoes because it's stinky. But God, like Pastor said this morning, God did it with a good attitude. And that's what all of us should be. Amen. I remember in primary school, that was a long time back, but not that long. My teacher, I was doing religion. And she said, "All right, tomorrow we're all bringing buckets of water. And we're going to wash his other feet." And I remember saying, "Oh no. Not Irish people's feet, their feet stinks." And I remember Johan said to me, "All right, listen up. Tonight you're going to run outside in the dog poop and don't cut your toenails and go in tomorrow and see if they wash your feet." It was tempting, I wanted to do it, but then again, my reputation will be gone. So Jesus washed their feet as a king. Just imagine that. A heavenly king of everything washed his own disciples' feet. Amen. What are you doing? Are you thinking you're too good to do something like that? Do you have too much pride? to do something like that? Then Jesus proved his true servanthood by obeying his heavenly Father and dying a horrible death on the cross for you and me. It wasn't just a quick death. It was a whole process Christ had to endure. I could just, every time I imagine that, it's a sad feeling to think of what Christ did for me and you. And I can still, when I think of that, when I read that passage, I can still see him going through that. How many of you have seen the Passion of the Christ? That doesn't come near to what Jesus had to go through. Hollywood can't describe what Jesus had to go through. He was deceived by his own friends and family and his own disciples. They mocked him, they spit in him. Everything that God did, they just laughed at him. And the Romans took him, they dragged him across the floor. They put thorns in his head, a crown of thorns. In South Africa, you get thorns, they're about this length. I'm not sure what length those thorns was, but the Romans were cruel people. I can imagine that they were very long thorns. They put them on his head, and he bleed. Blood was coming down his face. All this just for you. Ain't that a real servant? And then he was taken, he was whipped, he was beaten, he was thrown on the floor, he was kicked, he was spit at. They took a cat of nine tails with nine strings coming out, and the end of them they had knots. Some of them had hooks there. And every time they would whip him, they would grasp onto his back, and they would take it out, and pieces of flesh would come out, stuck on that. After that, Jesus wasn't even recognizable. The people couldn't even say that's Jesus, because his face was full of blood, his skin was gone, he was bruised. And then after all that, he had to carry his own cross. He had to carry it, and he fell a couple of times, and they helped him up, and he kept going. And I could just imagine how heavy that was, a big tree that he had to carry up the mountain after looking like that. And then when they got there, they put nails in his hand. It was long nails, but this length, they hammered it right here, you said, Pastor. And they put it in his feet. And after they put him up there, they dropped him into the hole. And I hear that when they dropped him in the hole, he was like this. And when they dropped him, all his bones broke. And he was just hanging there. And for him to breathe, he had to pull himself up, take a breath, and let go again. Don't you think that's a servant? Don't you think that is a true servant? A king who has everything, who owns everything, who made everything, and he had to go through that just so you can go to heaven. Do you think you really deserve heaven? Do you deserve to go to hell? You should be a servant tonight. You should be serving God because he did that for you. But that's not finished. When he was hanging up there and when he gave up the ghost, he was dead. It was all finished. They took him down. They laid him in a tomb and they put a rock in front of it. And when they got back, he was missing. He was gone. He was alive. My Savior didn't leave me. He got up from the dead. He resurrected himself. And he's alive. What a servant, eh? Last time I checked, Jesus said for us to follow in his footsteps. Why aren't you following in his footsteps tonight? Why aren't you serving him? After he came down and did that, and he served you guys. Why aren't you serving him? Do you think that you're too great to be serving God? Do you think that you're too wealthy to be serving God? Are you too cool to be serving God? Jesus said, "The greatest among you will be my servants. Choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Who's with me?
Yeah.
As for me and my house, we will serve this Lord. We will serve the Lord. Make a choice tonight of you, of who you will serve. Amen. Let's just pray again. Dear Lord Father, I thank you for this message tonight, Lord Father. I could be able to preach it. I pray that the people tonight, that their ears was open, Lord Father, that they took this in. And I just pray that you bless it to them, Lord Father. And I pray that you make us all servants tonight, Lord Father. I pray that I'm not the only one, Lord Father, who wants to serve you, who wants to do something for you, Lord God. I pray that my family in this church will also make that choice, Lord Father, of serving you. And I pray that we as a church grow because we're serving you, Lord Father. We're just putting our trust in you, Lord God. And I pray for the next message coming up, Lord Father. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.